Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Tradition Worship Center in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
This is my Bible as I look into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of God's Word. I see myself as God sees me. I am who He said I am. I have what He said I have. I can do what He said I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, living seed of my living God. My heart is receptive. My mind is alert. And I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God, you may be seated.
Hello, this is Dr. Gerard Curry. Thank you for joining us today. We're picking up where we left off yesterday, and we've been speaking about focusing on God. We've been speaking about acknowledging who we are in God, and now we started speaking about hearing from God. This is vitally important in the series that we're doing on what to do when the pressure is on. You need to do those things. You need to focus on God. You need to acknowledge who you are in Christ, and then you need to hear from God. And the fourth thing that we did this week on Sunday was Holy Communion, partaking of Holy Communion, which brings God to your remembrance. He said, remember me when you do this. And so we want to continue today where we left off yesterday. And what we were speaking about was the fact that we can hear from God, but we have to incline our ear. We have to tune in. We have to listen. We have to get that receiver tuned into the Word of God. And so to what God is saying, and He's speaking to us through a still small voice. And that's what we need to be listening for on the inside of us, not an outward voice. God can speak to us anyway, but it's 99% of the time He's going to speak to you through this still inward small voice. So let's pick up where we left off yesterday.
Well, the good thing about hearing from God is it gets easier. You know, when God first told me to come to America, that was like a bit of a battle, because that was a pretty big move and I would make sure it's God. But God eventually sent me an angel to confirm it, because I just couldn't believe it, what I was hearing. I'll never forget the first time God was telling me in a service like we were having now, get up there and say there's someone who's got a heart problem. You need to pray for that person with a heart problem or prophesy over that person. I was so scared I wouldn't do it, and I wasn't convinced it was God. I was sure it wasn't God. It was my feelings, my emotions, so I thought. And then during the end of that service, someone else did exactly what God told me to do. And I felt terrible for not doing it. And I started to realize I do hear from God. So, but my problem was I was inclining my ear for an audible voice. And chances are that's not going to happen. God's going to speak to you in the still small voice through your spirit man. He's going to speak to you. It's almost like a feeling, but it's not a feeling. It's almost like it's an impulse, but it's not an impulse. It's almost like a red light, green light. Yes, do it. No, don't do it. There's just something that comes on you. And you know, remember the time where God told me, and I was arguing with Him when we first started the church. Yes, it's a testimony about that day. God said to me during service, while they're doing praise and worship, now I've got an anointing for healing in my life. And God tells me in that service, call for people with ingrown toenails. Or just, you remember that? Call for an ingrown toenail. And I said, argued with God nonstop. No, no, give me cancer. Give me AIDS. Give me hepatitis. Give me something that I can grab. Give me a migraine, something. And God said, nope. And I eventually did what God said, because I wasn't sure it was God. And I called. 12 people came up here as one of them, and they all got healed from ingrown toenail. I stood there and said, God, I won't question you again. All 12 of them, and they all got healed from an ingrown toenail. How would you imagine 12 people with ingrown toenails in a service? I mean, what is up? Is it catchy? Is it contagious? Should you wear a mask? But the Word of God contains the answers that we so desperately need. So the Word of God has my answer. Put your hand on your heart and say, I hear God very clearly, and I follow Him And he knows me. And so, the Word of God contains every answer to every problem and every question you will ever have. And it's through prayer and focusing on the Word that God will show you the steps to take through the adverse circumstances. So you've got to pray, read the Word. That's why I do communion as well. That helps me. Because what I do when I do communion, I did it this morning. What it does for me is it helps me to focus. Because he said, when you partake of communion, do it in remembrance of me. So now I've got to remember, oh, gee, all the good things that Jesus did for me. It helps me. It clears the cobwebs away. And Jesus did say, Psalm 37:23, the steps of a righteous man, that's me. I would never have thought that before salvation. Right. But the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Yeah. And he directs the paths of the righteous. Yeah. Whoa, are you serious? So God is talking and directing me. Yeah. Come on. So you've got to get to a place of, I actually trust and believe this. Can you say amen? Amen. And God speaks to you through the still small voice. He speaks through his Word, but he'll speak to you through the still small voice. Oh my goodness, I just love it. But I want you to know that I've been walking in this for a while and I still have to incline my ear. I still have to get up. I get up before my family every day. I'm in my office and I try to incline my ear to what God's telling me to do. Because there are some big things God tells us to do. But you know, they grow in time. As your maturity level gets higher and you've been obedient to what he's telling you to do. Because God ain't going to tell you something new until you did the last thing he said. Amen. So obedience is one of the keys to hearing from God. You know, when God told me to come to South Africa, to America from South Africa, that was a major big step. I had to make certain it was God. So I did get people to speak to me, but it took someone that I called an angel to come and speak to me and tell me what you heard is that you're doing. And you're going over the big seas. And so I did that. And then when God told us to buy the first building, that was a prompting from God that we stepped out in faith and did what we had no means to accomplish in the natural realm. Not one way were we able to accomplish it in the natural realm. And I still try to help God. I did. Oh, yes, I did. I borrowed $200,000 from some very wealthy people. So I had to help God. Me and Abraham, we're both the same, remember? Yeah. Ishmael and Isaac, how many of you know the story? Yeah. I'm going to just help you along, God. Yeah. We all fall into that many times. And so I borrowed it. And how many of you, don't you know that that thing came up to try to bite me? Oh, yeah. We paid it back. But there was a bit of angst that went with it. Oh, yeah. And the people didn't need it, not even by a long shot. But because I didn't totally trust and rely on God to do what he said, I used some other means, and that thing came back like Ishmael came back to bite Abraham and all of us. So, but I've got used to it more and more. So now when my wife said we're buying this big building, 79,000 square feet, I didn't faint because I know she hears God, we hear God, and we went ahead. And we let the chips land. We just let them land and go with the way God was telling us to go with it. And so you start to hear more and more. And then when God sees that you'll listen to him and you'll obey what he's asking you to do, he'll start giving you greater things to do. You know, many of us want to hear a word from God to part the Red Sea. He's saying, you haven't even got control of your closet. Go and clean your closet out first. Listen to me. Go clean your closet out before you part the Red Sea. Come on, listen. Joyce Meyer says you haven't got control over a dish, over a sink full of dishes, and yet you want to control demons and things. I've seen some of your cars. I've been in some of those cars. You have to make room before I can get in. God's a God of order. And so if I haven't got my act together locally, what's locally? In my own life, in my own family, in my own home, how can I expect to be parting Red Seas? Amen. It starts locally with you first. Start being more loving to your spouse. And all the women said, amen, brother. Preach it. And all the men jumped up and said, yeehaw. Be decent. Be nice. God's telling you to. I can tell you this is a word from God right now. Be nice. God just said that. He wants to say it again. Be nice. Okay. Be nice. There. He wants it. Just be nice. Loving, gentle, and kind. Be loving, gentle, and kind. That's a word from God. But I can't even treat my children, my spouse, my puppies, nothing well. I don't care about them. There's no organization in my life, but I want to go and part the Red Sea. I want to go and release the people from Egypt. Let me tell you something. Moses had to go through 40 years of training. And then after he was trained by the Egyptians, he had to go through 40 years in the wilderness. And then he was 80 years of age. He thought, retire. And God said, no, refire. Boom, and sent him out. Come on. It took some training. So, and then God had to speak to him with a miracle sign and wonder to show him. Because listen, at first he had heard something in his spirit from God. You're going to get my people free. And he went and killed the Egyptian man, which was not God telling him to do that. He jumped ahead, but God was already starting to impart and put it inside of him. And now he had to go into the wilderness because of his mistake. Him, Abraham, and me. We all three did it. What about David? He also jumped out ahead of God. And he had to run for 13 years. What about Joseph? He had a big mouth. He didn't have to go through what he went through. I don't believe it. But he was hurt. Look at me. God is saying, get rid of that pride. Get rid of arrogance. Clean up your act. Clean your closet up. Take care of your family. Well, you shouldn't be standing on a pulpit preaching. You see, the only criteria for someone to be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, an outreach, whatever it is, the only criteria is, how's your family? How are your children? How are you treating your loved ones? Oh, dear. I know some people, they've got, I knew a guy, he had all the degrees you could possibly imagine. He had studied at every seminary that you could find. There was a fraudulent slip. And he had been everywhere, but he was the meanest ornery critter. I'd go with him to a restaurant and I'd be embarrassed. And I'd look at him on the pulpit and then with a waitress just beating up on them. God help you if you brought the wrong meal to the guy. Wow, I wonder what Jesus would have done. I brought him watermelon instead of leeks. Get behind me, Satan. No, Jesus is loving, gentle, and kind. So we want to part the Red Sea, but we want to first take care of business at home. Amen. Elijah spoke, listen. Elijah spoke to God and he said, listen. He said these words. He said, these people have killed your prophets. They've forsaken your covenant. And they've torn down your altars. And I'm the only one left. I'm the only one left. Now look at 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19, verse 18. He says, yet I've reserved, big mouth, big boy, thinking you're it. I've reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Sometimes we feel we're alone. It's just you and me out there. But it's not. God says, I've got other. There's a remnant. And right now we need that remnant to stand up. We need that remnant to stop parading. And we need that remnant to get engaged. Stop parading and be engaging. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to traditionworshipcenter.com or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. with youth and children's services available, located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie, in our beautiful Tradition Square Town Hall facility.
Get ready for a mouth-watering journey as Nana Morrison's Soul Food expands to Port St. Lucie. Voted North Carolina's best soul food restaurant, Nana Morrison's has been dishing out homemade cuisine for over a decade. Their new location is now open, 10234 Southwest Meeting Street, Port St. Lucie, in Tradition. Craving fried chicken?